Greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. And a very, very special welcome to all those who are here for the first time. A very special welcome to all our friends and our visitors from overseas. A very special welcome to you. And after the worship service, please do not hasten away, but stay behind. We want to fellowship with you. So please stay behind. Now it's so wonderful to be in the house of the Lord, don't you think so? Yes, of course. Yes, so wonderful to be here. Once again, we are given this great and wonderful opportunity to come and sit at the feet of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and to hear His Word. And what a privilege has been given to us to realize, for us to know that we are indeed children of God, bought by the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And what a privilege it is for us to understand that we have life everlasting and life that is abundant. And what a wonderful blessing to have, to know that one day we will be seeing the Lord Jesus Christ face to face, and then we shall be like Him. So I ask you this morning, do you have this blessed hope in your hearts? My dear friends, do you have? You better say yes, all right? Yes, and say yes from the bottom of your heart. Today the subject is God, our salvation, and I'm speaking from Psalm 67. So please turn to Psalm 67. God, our salvation, Psalm 67. God, our salvation. Now we are all very familiar with the story of the prodigal son. This prodigal son wanted prematurely to have the inheritance that was his, and so he asked for it. The father gave it to him. Of course, I'm sure there must have been lots of arguments between father and son must have rebelled against father. But father gave it to him as he desired. Then he took the money, he went away to a far country, squandered the money away in righteous living. But did the father write him off? We know that the father did not write him off. And so when this young man came back, he repented. The father was most willing and most glad to take him back. In fact, the Lord tells us this in Luke chapter 15, verse 20, that he, referring to the prodigal son, arose, he repented, he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. He restored the son to himself. He had great compassion on the son. We say, what love and what mercy was shown by this father to his son. Now, did not the son deserve punishment? Yes, of course he did. A hard-hearted father would have said, get rid of this tramp, because when he came back, he was no better than the tramp. Having lived in a pigsty, he was no better than a tramp. And the father could have said, he has given me lots of heartaches. Get him out of my sight. I do not want to have anything to do with him. Or a less hard-hearted father might say this to him. Okay, let him be the servant he wants to be. You remember when he came back, he said, I wish I could only be a servant in my father's house. Father could have said, let him be the servant he wants to be. Let him go through this punishment. Let him have that experience. Let him prove himself first, before I take him back and restore him his sonship. The truth was, he was full of mercy. He not only withheld his punishment, but he kissed his son, embraced him, fell upon his neck, and then restored his princely position. When? Immediately. Yes, right. How kind, how gracious father was. Mortal man like this father has such mercy in him. So we ask ourselves this question, what about our God? What about our Creator? Now let's understand, it is He who puts mercy in us. Yes, we received His mercy. We didn't create mercy. The day we came to trust Jesus as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, He put mercy into us. And then we showed mercy to other people. And we must know how to show mercy to other people. But this mercy that we show to other people, that we are able to show, my dear friends, is mercy that is limited. But God, This God of ours is mercy unlimited. His supply of mercy is unlimited. And so we have these wonderful words given to us in the book of Lamentations. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. His mercies are new every morning. His compassions are new every morning, ever fresh, never running out. How merciful God is. And it is because he is the God of mercy. That is why he is the God of our salvation. Did you realize that? If God didn't have mercy, he would not be the God of our salvation. But he is the God of mercy, and therefore also the God of our salvation. I like this morning for us to look at Psalm 67, and I'd like us to consider 3 points this morning. Number one, salvation received. We receive salvation from him. And number two, salvation shared. After receiving the salvation, we must share our salvation, the blessings of our salvation, with others. And number three, salvation enjoyed universally. So 3 points I want to speak on this morning. But first, let us look at salvation received. And salvation received, I want to speak of salvation received in two parts. One of which is the mercy of God in the salvation we receive. That's first part. The second part is the blessings of salvation received. So first, the mercy of God in the salvation received. Number two, the blessings of God in the salvation that we receive. The psalmist begins with this prayer. Look at Psalm 67 verse 1. God, be merciful unto us. You see, he begins with mercy. God, be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. For us to receive salvation, we have to begin with God's mercy. If God is not compassionate, if God is not merciful, we cannot begin to talk about salvation. We will not be saved. Now, before we go on, I think we need to ask ourselves, what is meant by God's mercy? What is meant by God's mercy? Someone has described mercy in this manner. He says, mercy is that attribute of God which leads him to seek the temporal good and the eternal salvation of those who oppose him. Not those who are for him, those who oppose him, even though the cost of doing so is self-sacrifice. Yes, mercy is that attribute of God that leads him to seek the temporal good and the eternal salvation of those who oppose him. Now, the question is, did we not oppose him? Did we not rebel against him? Did we not? The answer is yes. Right from the very, very beginning, we oppose him, we rebel against him. And we rebel against him in our first parents, Adam and Eve. God's instruction to our first parents was very, very clear. He said this to them, of all the trees in the Garden of Eden, you may eat, except of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The fruit of that tree you shall not eat. And the day you partake of that fruit, you know what God said to them? Dying, you will surely die. What it means is, you will die 100%. Death will come upon you 100%. No escape. But what did they do? They opposed God. They rebel against him. You say, how so? How did they rebel against God? Of course they rebel against God. They were sinning against God right under his very nose. They listened to the wiles of the evil one, Satan, succumbed to his temptation. Satan made it look as if God was trying to hide something from them, and he told them that if you partake of this fruit, you will be like gods. You will be like the gods. You'll be like the one true living God himself if you were to partake of this fruit. And of course, they wanted to be like God himself. And so they partook of the fruit and they fell. They sinned. So what did they deserve? My dear friends, what did they deserve? Of course they deserve eternal punishment, eternal death. They deserve to be separated from the one true living God. They deserve to be separated from Him for all eternity. They deserve hellfire. Because our God is holy and our God is righteous. And because He's righteous and because He's holy, He has to punish the sins of our first parents. But what did He do, friends? He withheld His punishment. Instead, He saves them. He provided the animal sacrifices for them. We do not know how many animals were killed, but we know that God provided animal skins for our first parents to cover themselves. So animals had to be sacrificed. Blood of the animals was shed. And all these animal sacrifices and the blood of the animals were all pointing to God's own sacrifice in the New Testament, in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who came and died for us on the cross of Calvary. Now, what do you call this act of God, my dear friends? What do you call it? Of course, it is the act of infinite mercy. Yes, this act is, of course, the act of infinite mercy. And understand this too, friends. We have inherited this sinful nature from our first parents. We sin because we have this sinful nature. It is not because we sin and then we became sinners. No, friends, we were sinners. We have inherited this sinful nature, and that is why we sin. And God is obligated to punish us because of our sins. We were walking along that broad way leading to hell. There was nothing good in us. All the righteousness that we had in us, so-called, were but filthy rags in the sight of the one true living God. But God saw our plight. He said to us, "Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And then we heard the gospel many times. Yes, preachers preach about the gospel. Our friends told us about the gospel. Our parents told us about the gospel. Our brothers told us about the gospel, and so forth. We heard it many times. But we spurned His salvation. We spurned His invitation. We rejected Him. But was He merciful? Yes, very, very merciful. With great long-suffering, He pointed us to the cross. He pointed us to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross of Calvary for us. And out of His infinite mercy, He saved us. There was a day when we heard that invitation, and there was a stir in our hearts. The Holy Spirit worked in us, and we opened our hearts and received our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior. And many of us, I dare say, were unwilling to come to Him. Don't you think so? Unwilling. But God, in His mercy, compelled us to enter into His kingdom. Isn't it not true of us? Yes, absolutely true. God might have allowed us to fall sick, and in our sickness we say, "Lord, I want to be well." So we came to the Lord. He healed us, and we trusted Him as Lord and Savior. Or we could have experienced some terrible failures in our life, and we needed encouragement, and we came to the Lord to receive that encouragement, and we trusted in the Lord, and we were saved. Yes, so He had to compel us to come into the kingdom of God. So what do you call that, my dear friends? Of course, that is mercy. Mercy from the one true living God. Heroes upon Bible heroes had experienced the mercy of God. David sinned those two terrible sins. Remember the sins of adultery and the sin of murder. Now, what kind of punishment did he not deserve? No human being, I can tell you, would forgive David for what he did, committing the sins of adultery and murder. Yes. But he prayed unto the Lord for forgiveness. Now, what did he seek from the Lord? What he appealed to the Lord? What did he appeal? What did he appeal to in regards to the one true living God? My dear friends, he appealed to the tender mercies of the one true living God. I'd like us to look at Psalm 51 and verse 1. But keep your finger at Psalm 67. Psalm 51 and verse 1. Look at what the psalmist, the great King David, appealed to. Psalm 51 and verse 1. I read for you. "Have mercy upon me." Did you read that? mercy. O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. So what did he appeal to? Of course, he appealed to the tender mercies of the one true living God. He realized that what he deserved was God's punishment, God's judgment. But he appealed to God's tender mercies. And God heard him. The most marvelous thing is God heard him. God withheld what he deserved and blotted out his transgressions. And you remember this famous character, Peter, whom I've been talking very much about. He denied the Lord 3 times on the night on which the Lord was arrested. Now, I'd like us to see how merciful our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was to Peter. Now, I possibly have spoken about this before, but I'd like us to turn to Luke chapter 22, verses 60 to 62. And you'll see how merciful our Lord was to Peter. All right. We are talking about the mercies of God and the salvation that we receive. Luke chapter 22, verses 60 to 62. I read for you these verses. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. Now, this was the 3rd time that Peter denied the Lord. He had already denied the Lord Jesus Christ 2 times in the high priest's palace. And this was the 3rd time. Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. 61. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. That's what I want us to look at. The Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me 3 times. And Peter went up and wept bitterly. Now look at these most heart-touching words. The Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Now what kind of look was that? Was it a look of condemnation? No, my dear friends, it wasn't. Was it the look we showed to Peter? That Peter, I told you, you're going to deny me 3 times, right? But you said you would not. But now you've denied me 3 times. Was it that kind of a look? No, it wasn't. Now the Lord was not thinking about himself at that time for sure. And he was surely not thinking about the fact that he didn't deserve that kind of treatment from Peter. No, he wasn't thinking of those things. That look that the Lord had on Peter was a look of compassion and mercy, tender mercies. The Lord was perfectly sympathetic with Peter. He knew how Peter was going to feel. He knew that Peter's heart was going to break, how Peter was going to grieve. And Peter indeed wept bitterly. And he knew that Peter was going to repent. So that look on the face of the Lord was a look of mercy and compassion. And the Lord indeed showed his mercy to Peter. Remember, we said this already quite a few times. After the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord appeared to Peter and 6 other disciples by the Sea of Galilee. And the Lord that morning invited them to breakfast, and the Lord spoke to Peter. And he asked Peter this question 3 times. Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? 3 times. Why 3 times? Because Peter had denied him 3 times. So the Lord was telling Peter, Peter, as you have denied me 3 times, I am now forgiving you 3 times. I'm now going to restore you to the apostleship that you had once. So the Lord was very, very kind, very merciful, very gracious to Peter. Now you look to the word of God and you see examples upon examples of the mercy of the Lord. Now the question is this mercy available to us? Yes, of course, available to us. Now the question is, have you experienced this mercy that is available to us? Now if you haven't experienced this mercy before, you have never cried out to the Lord for mercy, this morning you may be able to do so, just like the psalmist. The psalmist says, God, be merciful unto us. You can pray the same prayer, and you can pray the same prayer as the publican did when he went up to the temple of Jerusalem to pray. He said to the Lord, and he never so much as lifted up his eyes unto heaven, he kept his head down, he smote his breast, and he cried out, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And that cry came from a broken and a contrite heart. And the Lord said, this man went down to his house justified. God heard his prayer. God showed him his mercy. Then you remember the thief on the cross who was crucified next to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said to the Lord, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Lord said to him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Did not the Lord show him his mercy? Yes, of course he did. Now it is after we have received God's mercy that we may be able to receive his blessings in the salvation that we have received. So mercy first, next we receive blessings. Yes, it is only that after we have received God's mercy that we may be able to pray this prayer like the psalmist did. God, be merciful to us, verse 1. God, be merciful to us and bless us. Receive mercy first, now he prayed, Lord, bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Now what are these blessings? Now these are blessings contained in the promises given to us who are his very own sons and daughters. These are the blessings of the salvation that we have received. Now we can't of course this morning enumerate all the blessings. I'll just talk a few blessings that we have received from him, the blessings of salvation. Now first of all, we have the weight of the guilt of sin removed from us. Now it is a very, very, very terrible thing to be weighed down by the guilt of sin. And to know that our sins have not been confessed, that our sins have not been forgiven. A terrible, terrible thing to bear this weight of guilt. David had this terrible experience of bearing the weight of his guilt. The guilt, possibly of his two sins. Remember that? The sin of adultery and the sin of murder. And this was what he said. I'd like us to turn to Psalm 32. Psalm 32 and look at verses 3 and 4. Psalm 32 verses 3 and 4. Psalm 32 verses 3 and 4. I read for you these two verses. David said, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. Verse 4, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. He said this, when I kept silence. Meaning to say, when I didn't confess my sin, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. Meaning to say that he felt as if he was aging very rapidly. My bones are waxing old. And he felt as if there was a big furnace roaring in his system. Now how do you feel, my dear friends, if you feel that you're getting old very, very quickly and feel that within you there's a big furnace roaring within you? Now that kind of feeling must be very, very terrible. And that was how he felt. And in verse 4 he says, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. He felt that hand of God upon him very, very heavily, and he says, my moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Now those of us who live in Australia will understand what is meant by the drought of summer. Now you look at all the plants, they shrivel up, they die, and David felt as if he was like one of those plants that die in summer under the heat of the sun, under the drought of summer. Now listen to the kind of blessings you receive when this guilt was lifted, when his sins were forgiven. Look at verse 11. He says, be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous. Shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. My dear friends, can you not see him celebrating? Jumping for joy, rejoicing with the blessing of the joy of salvation, when the guilt of his sins was removed. Friends, and that is exactly how we will feel when the guilt of our sins has been removed from us. That weight is lifted. And that, my dear friends, is a great, great blessing from the one true living God. A blessing of his salvation to us. Now let us look at the next blessing. The Lord says in John 1:12, we all know this verse, but as many as received him, to them gave him power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We are not only forgiven sinners when we came to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but we have become his sons and we have become his daughters. We have been adopted into the royal family of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we have become heirs and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm sure we must have heard of people who were adopted into very, very wealthy families, and then they became heirs of great inheritances. Now, in fact, I had a colleague who was adopted into a rich family, and he became an heir of substantial properties, and that's true. Yes, my friends, these are only earthly properties. Our Heavenly Father, who adopts us through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, owns the cattle on the thousand hills and the wealth in every mine. The entire creation belongs to him. Our wealth in him, my dear friends, is infinite. And one day, one of the greatest inheritances that we are going to have from him is that we will be putting on that glorious body like that of the Lord Jesus Christ. A body that will not decay, a body that will not become sick, a body that will never die. What a great and glorious body we will have on that day. And that is our inheritance. And then think of another inheritance. The Lord says he has gone to prepare a place for us. He's gone to prepare a heavenly mansion for us. That mansion is our inheritance. Now, I'd like us to think of another wonderful inheritance. We will be located to where God is. And where God is, my dear friends, there will be no crying, no tears, no pain. Turn to Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. Revelation 21, verse 4. But keep your finger at Psalm 67, because we are coming back to Psalm 67. Revelation 21 and verse 4. I read that verse for you. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Yes, we will be located there to be with the Lord, and in his presence, all tears will be wiped away from our eyes. No more pain, no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. What a wonderful inheritance this is. Don't you think so? Yeah. Then consider another blessing of salvation. John chapter 10, verse 10. I read for you this verse. The thief cometh not but to steal, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. My dear friends, he promises us abundant life. And this abundant life refers to the fullness of life. It is a very, very meaningful life. It is a life in which we will aim to do all things to glorify the name of the Lord. And it is a life in which we will be able to enjoy God. This is the abundant life that he gives to us, a life in which we will aim to glorify God, a life in which we will be able to enjoy God himself. Now, it is true, God has given us many things to enjoy, but when we are experiencing the blessing of salvation, we will not only enjoy the things that he has given to us, but most importantly, my dear friends, we will be enjoying God himself. And that is what the psalmist is most desirous of. Yes, he didn't so much desire God's gifts. He prays in Psalm 67 verse 1. He says, cause his face to shine upon us. That is what he desired most. He said, in essence, bless us, O Lord. We want the greatest blessing from you. It is not the things you give to us that we desire most of all. But Lord, it is you whom we desire most of all. Cause your face to shine upon us. The smile of the Lord was what the psalmist was after, friends. And that is what we must be after also. What great blessings we will be receiving from the Lord if the Lord were to smile upon us. True? Yes. If he smiles upon us, every day will be a day of rejoicing. Now we can go on and on and list the blessings which the Lord has given us to enjoy. We just have to go into the Word of God. This is the treasure chest, and you find the great and abundant blessings that the Lord has given to us. But the sad truth is, many times we do not treat these blessings that the Lord has given to us as ours, and therefore we do not enjoy them. Now, I could have told you this before about this explorer by the name of Eric Shipton. Eric Shipton traveled from Norway, from London to Norway, and then after that he was going to come back from Norway to London, but he just had enough money to pay for the boat fare to travel from Norway back to London in those days. But he said, I will go on this boat. I'm prepared to go hungry. So he traveled in this boat, no money to buy his meals. And then day one went by, he was very hungry. Day two, he became even more hungry. And then on the final day, before he arrived at London, he was so hungry he could not stand it any longer. He saw a fellow passenger, a kindly looking gentleman. He said, can I have some of your bread? This man said, sure, you can have my bread, you know. But this kindly gentleman said to him, but why don't you come into the dining hall and eat? Come in and eat. And Eric Shipton said, but I don't have money. I only have money to pay enough fare for this boat trip. But he said, but the meals are included in the fare. Yes. So you see, my dear friends, isn't that true of us? We are very much like Eric Shipton. The Lord has huge blessings for us packaged in the salvation that He's given us. All our blessings are in Jesus. If we have Christ, we have them. He says to us, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and it shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. We have not because we ask not. And if we ask in accordance to His will, my dear friends, in accordance to His will, and for our greatest blessings, He will bless us and He will answer our prayers. And friends, it is when we have received God's salvation, received His mercy and His blessings, that we will then be in a position to share our salvation with others. And that's what I want to talk about next, my next point. Let's talk about the sharing of our salvation. Look at verse 2. Here the psalmist prays these prayers, Psalm 67 verse 2. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. He prays that God's way of salvation may be known upon the earth. And this salvation, my dear friends, is the salvation from all spiritual ills and all spiritual sicknesses of all nations. He says, Lord, may they experience these blessings, all the nations of the earth. Now, we have received this way, haven't we? The way of salvation. And who is this way of salvation? This way of salvation is, of course, none other than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Yes, and He is the one who will bring healing to the souls of men. He is the saving health among all nations. And the psalmist was very desirous that these blessings of his, the blessings of salvation, might be shared among the nations of the world. Now, could someone who has received this mercy of the Lord receive the blessings from the one true living God, experience the shining of the Lord upon him, keep all the blessings unto himself, and keep all the blessings of salvation to himself? He can't, my dear friends, he can't. And so the psalmist could not contain these blessings within him. And he prays that these blessings, as we said, that they might be shared among all the nations on the earth. Now, it is not true to say that in olden times the Jews were very, very bigoted, and they thought that the salvation was only for the Jews, of the Jews, for the Jews exclusively. Now, it might be true of the Pharisees and the religious people during the days of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on this earth, but as far as those very, very devout believing Jews were concerned in the Old Testament days, my dear friends, they were actually quite evangelistic. They were very, very desirous that the way of salvation might be known by other nations of the earth. They wanted to share their blessings with others. Now, how could we keep the blessings of salvation to ourselves? How could we do that? Remember, we came to the Lord, we thirsted for the Lord, and he said to us, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And these rivers of living water refer to none other than the Holy Spirit. Now, it is not as if we have received something very, very small, and that the water that is flowing out of us are just is just made up of streams of water that that is flowing out of us. No, my dear friends, the water that is flowing out of us goes out in the form of rivers of living water. And you know what one single river can do? It can provide energy to power up one entire town or one entire city. And that's how powerful one river is. And here we are talking about what? Rivers of living water. My dear friends, we cannot contain the Holy Spirit in us. We must share these blessings of salvation with others. The question is, are we sharing the blessings of salvation with others? Let us remember that with all privileges, there comes responsibility. We have been given this privilege of having the blessings of salvation. But at the same time, let us remember we have the responsibilities of sharing the salvation with others. The Lord, before he ascended up to heaven, gave us this great commission. He said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go, ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I have taught you. Yes. Go, ye therefore. Are we obedient to this great commission that he has given to us? Then, along with this commission, notice the blessings that he has bestowed upon us. He says this, all power in heaven and in earth is given unto him. And we have him in this heart. Do we have any power to draw from? Yes. All power in heaven is given unto him. And he is in our heart. Surely we have great power to draw from. And this is our blessing. And he says to us, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Then, my dear friends, how can we not take heed to this great commission that the Lord has given to us? We must take heed to it. And besides, what do we pray for when we pray the Lord's Prayer? Every Sunday when we are here, what do we pray when we utter the Lord's Prayer? We say what? Thy kingdom come. We pray, Lord, may your kingdom come as quickly as possible. And this, his kingdom will be ushered in by the spreading of the gospel upon the earth. And this kingdom of his millennial rule will not come until his people have brought the gospel to the ends of the earth. And who are his people? Who? It's you and me, my dear friends. We are his people. The question is, what are we doing with the gospel that has been entrusted to us? Now then, the day will come when this salvation will be enjoyed universally. And that's my third point. The day will come when this salvation will be enjoyed universally. Now, I don't want to be misunderstood. It will be enjoyed universally, not by everyone. Enjoyed universally by those who have trusted him as Lord and Savior, those who are his saints. So we read verses 3 to 7. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Now, today, do we see his salvation universally enjoyed on the earth yet? Not yet. The gospel has gone out, but the day of redemption is not here yet. But it will come very, very soon. because we are living in the last of the last days. Remember, I told you about two great signs of that will precede the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'd like to repeat them for you to remember this morning. And the first sign is, of course, the return of the Jews back to their country. It has been 50 years now. For 2,000 years, the Jews didn't have a homeland. But in the year 1948, the nation of Israel was reborn in accordance to prophecy. You know, the word of God, the word of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is stated in this manner. He says, when the fig tree has put forth its branch, you know that summer is nigh. And what is this fig tree? This fig tree is, of course, none other than the nation of Israel. Israel has put forth its leaf. My dear friends, you know that summer is nigh. The Lord's return is imminent, close, even at the doors. And today, what do we see? Another sign. And this other sign is this thing called the great apostasy, the great falling away. We see churches falling away. We see Bible seminarians, and we see seminary professors, teachers, Bible scholars falling away. This is the great falling away that is spoken of in the book of Thessalonians. My dear friends, this great falling away is a sign that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return soon. I've spoken about two major signs, but there are, of course, other signs preceding the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us realize, friends, His coming is near, even at the doors. And when He comes again to receive the saints, there will be great rejoicing among all the saints upon planet Earth. On that day, there will be universal rejoicing, for the saints will be transformed. They will put on glorious bodies like that of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when they see Him face to face. What a great and glorious day that will be when their blessed hope is fulfilled. And then when the Lord returns to rule the earth over the millennium, there will be 1,000 years of golden rule. The nations that fear Him will rejoice. Will they rejoice? Or will the nations fear Him? Of course, my dear friends, the nations will fear Him, because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when He rules, He is going to rule with a rod of iron. Revelation 19:15. I read for you this verse. And out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, and that with it He shall smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Indeed, those that fear Him with holy fear Him with holy fear, you think they will be very sad, or will they rejoice? Rejoice, because they fear Him with holy fear. God is not a terror to them. They fear Him with holy fear, and they will rejoice under the rule of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Verse 4, He shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. And verse 6, the earth shall yield her increase. Now, because of the sin of man, the ground has been cursed right from the very beginning. But when the Lord returns, this curse will be removed. The ground will be highly fertile and productive, yielding her increase. Will this happen? Yes, of course it will happen. The Word of God says so. It will happen under the rule of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But what about the saints who believe in Him? What about us who have believed in Him? Remember, we said that we are not only forgiven, we have become sons and daughters of the one true living God. We have become what? Heirs and joint heirs with Him. When He returns, my dear friends, we would have already been raptured to be with Him. We will return with Him. And we will return with Him to rule with Him. Who says so? I said so? No. The Word of God says so. We read this in Revelation 5, verse 10. You just take note of this verse, but I read this verse to you because we are running out of time. And Jesus has made us unto God kings and priests. He made us unto God what? Kings and priests. And we shall reign on the earth. We will rule with Him. So friends, God has shown us His mercy, and because He has shown us His mercy, we have been able to receive His salvation. And after we have received His salvation, received His mercy, He blesses us with the blessings of salvation. And having received His salvation, then we are in the position to share the blessings of salvation with others. Now the question is, are we sharing the blessings of salvation with others? Are we carrying out the Great Commission? Now for our conclusion, I'd like us to imagine this situation. Let us say that we live in one of the bush fire afflicted areas in Victoria. Our house caught fire. And then our next door neighbors knew that we were in the house, but we didn't know because we were fast asleep. The fire came very, very fast. Yes. And they knocked at our door, had no response from us, and they banged down the door and pulled us out of the house, and we were rescued mercifully. Then we stood at a safe place, and then suddenly we looked down the street. A neighbor's house has also caught fire. Now, what do? We just stand there and watch and do nothing and watch the house burn down, and then possibly our neighbors in there burn to death. Do we do that? We say, no, we'll not do that. We'll do something about it. But friends, as far as the gospel is concerned, I think we are not doing anything. Yes, we see people perishing around us. They are heading for hellfire. We are doing nothing about it. There were people who were very, very kind to us, gracious to us in time past, who shared the gospel with us, rescued us, pulled us out of the fire. But today, what are we doing? My dear friends, what are we doing? We must do something. It is our responsibility to share our salvation with others. And let us be true when we pray this prayer. Your kingdom come. Yes, may your kingdom come as quickly as possible. Let us be true when we pray this prayer. Don't just think of our own rejoicing, but think of the rejoicing, the kind of rejoicing that the Lord wants the rejoicing to be. And that kind of rejoicing that He wants it to be is rejoicing of the universal kind. He wants all His saints to rejoice. And friends, the gospel has not gone fully out yet. You and I still have a role to play. We've got to share the gospel with others. Send forth the gospel and bring in the kingdom of God. Amen. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your mercies. We thank You for the mercies that we have received from You. And we thank You that it is because of Your mercy that we have received salvation from You. And we thank You for the abundant blessings that we have received from You in the salvation that we have received. But Lord, we realize that with the privilege given to us, there is the great responsibility to share the gospel with others. And Lord, we pray that You will give us hearts of compassion. Help us that we may lift up our eyes and see that there are so many out there who still do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Give us, O Lord God, hearts of compassion to go out and to have this holy desire to want to bring people into Your kingdom. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen.